I want to first say good morning.
Good morning.
It is certainly good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly good for the fellowship that we had this morning with several of the members. No matter what state you're in, whether it be Tennessee or Kentucky or Indiana, or maybe all throughout the United States, it's always amazing to be with God's people. You know, Sunday is a day that I look forward to the most. It is the full highlight of my week because I get to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people and to feel His presence. And to me, you cannot even have a church service unless the Spirit of the Lord is there with us. And folks, I'm thankful today to be able to feel the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful for the songs and the good piano playing and singing, but I'm thankful for the last song that we sung during that singing about how you know nothing until you know the love of God. My favorite line is in that chorus where it says, until you know that God is really real. You know, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in church all my life. You know, my dad was a preacher, and I had several cousins who were called to preach as well. But my dad pastored a church in Westmoreland, Tennessee, called Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist. And we went there, I guess I was about the age of five, and started going there. And 2 years later, I was 7 years old. And we were in the Walmart parking lot. We lived in a little town called Lafayette. And those of you who've probably never been to Tennessee or Lafayette, Tennessee, the only thing that we have down there is two stoplights and a Walmart. So there's really not much that we have. But Saturday was our day to go grocery shopping. And so I remember being in that little Dodge Caravan with my mom and dad. And you know, growing up and hearing the gospel all my life, I knew exactly what to do, but I didn't feel nothing until one day we're in that Walmart parking lot, and I just remember them putting that vehicle in park, and they said, son, are you lost? The Lord let me know where I stood. He broke me, showed me where I was. And you know, it was nothing that they did as people. It was the fact that they were allowing God to use them. And folks, I tell you, if God knocks on your heart to do something, you need to do it. Because you don't know who it's going to affect. And that day, you know, I realized that I had a little pride as a seven-year-old boy. I was like, well, I don't want to get out of this van in the Walmart parking lot and just start praying, because then people's just going to think that we're crazy. And so I was like, no, I'm not lost. And we went home, and folks, I tell you what, I'm thankful for the people that prayed for conviction on me. You know, David told us in the 116th division of Psalm, he said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And he said, the pains of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. And that's exactly what I felt, how sorrow and death, they were just flooded in my heart. And I knew that if I would have died at that moment, I would have woke up and been in a devil's hell. And you know, it was hard for me to sleep that Saturday night. But on that Sunday morning of November the 12th, 2006, we went to Pleasant Grove Church. And the second that we opened up the doors, I just started bawling. I started crying. It wasn't because of anything, but it was because of the trouble that I was feeling. I do believe today, in order for one to be saved, they have to feel that trouble in their heart. Amen. And you know, my mom was my Sunday school teacher there at that church, and we dismissed to go to Sunday school, and I remember going to the back of the church, and I would just start bawling, and Mom said, is something wrong with you? I said, yeah, I'm lost. And I ran and I hit the mourner's bench. Now, folks, I want to first off let you know, I don't believe that this mourner's bench has any saving virtue in it. But it's a good place to seek after God. And you know, I went there to that mourner's bench, and I don't remember how long I was there, but I remember looking up to my dad, who I thought the sun and moon rested upon his shoulders, and I said, I don't know what to do. And he said, son, I can't do anything for you. All I can do is pray for you. And you know what? That got me in the right place, because it showed me that my trust shouldn't be in man, but it should be in God. That I shouldn't trust man for my salvation, but I should trust the Lord for it. And you know what? And within a split second, that trouble was gone. And there was this peace that flooded my heart. And it was something that I knew had happened. And that's why I love that chorus of the line so much. Until you know that God's really real. At that moment, November the 12th, 2006, at Pleasant Grove Church, I knew that God is God. And he is who he said he is. And he's real. Amen. And you know what? And you know what even makes it better? Is that sometimes I'll be in my car headed to work. And next thing you know, the Spirit of the Lord will just be there. Oh, man. It makes for the best drive to work. And you know, I tell you what, folks, we need to follow the Spirit of the Lord. I don't think I can stress that enough. A matter of fact, that's going to go in with what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. If you go with me to the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter or division of the book of Psalms, and I am going to read the full six verses there, and the thought or the title that the Lord has placed upon my heart this morning is a Spirit-filled people in a dark, sinful world. A Spirit-filled people in a dark, sinful world. In the first verse of the 23rd chapter of Psalms, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you don't mind, as it's upon our hearts, I feel a need we need to bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you for another wonderful opportunity to stand for thee and thy word. We thank you for the reading of your word, Lord, and we ask that you would bless it, Lord, that be for our good and our benefit and might be for your honor and glory. Help us as we stand this morning that you'd empty up our hearts and minds of the things of this world, that you'd just fill us up with your Spirit, and that the word would just go out and accomplish what you said it to. Lord, forgive me my sins, Lord, in your name I do pray. Amen. Now this morning, like I said, the title that the Lord has given us is a Spirit-filled people in a dark, sinful world. I want to look, really focus on the fifth verse there, how David had wrote, how he said, thou anointest my head with oil. Now, I had done a little bit of research this past week, and I don't know nothing about sheep farming. But I had done a little bit of research this past week, and if I'm not wrong, the sheep farmers, what they would do lots of times, that they would put some kind of oil upon the sheep's head to make sure that insects or some kind of disease just doesn't get to them, again, their ears or their mouth, and infect them. Because if it did, they would die lots of times a slow and painful death. But you know, that's what I want to talk about this morning is, thou anointest my head with oil. You know, Jesus prayed a prayer in the 17th chapter of John. He said, he was praying for his people. And he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now we read in Webster's 1828 dictionary that that word sanctify or sanctification means a process of separating or set apart. Now, we as saved individuals, as the Church of the Living God, we do need to be set apart, do we not? We need to be set apart from the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we are to not be of the world. Yes, we are in this world that God has given us and allowed us to be here in this place and time, but we are to have no fellowship or anything that is going to hinder the work of God. We are to be as a light that shines bright for the Lord. You know, we actually read in the Sermon on the Mount, I think it's the fifth chapter, I could be wrong, but maybe the fifth or sixth, but Jesus was talking about the church, and he talked to his people. He said, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, and it cannot be hid. But Jesus also said somewhere in the book of John, he said, I am the true light of the world. So you know what that makes us as his church? It makes us a lighthouse for this world. Now, I don't know if you know much of lighthouses, but a couple years ago, we went we had a family vacation. We went to Tybee Island, Georgia. And at Tybee Island, Georgia, they had the original Tybee Island Lighthouse. And we actually was able to wander up through there and to see everything that would happen. And it blew my mind just a little bit because they had LED light bulbs in there. And the woman that was touring us, she said, well, back in the day, they didn't have no LED light bulbs. But what they did have was oil lamps. And what the lighthouse keeper had to do from time to time, you see, the oil lamp would cause the window to get a little greasy, to get a little dirty. And you know what the lighthouse keeper had to do from time to time before he started his shift was that he had to go up in that lighthouse and he had to clean the windows just a little bit, because if he didn't clean the windows where that oil lamp had made a mess, then that light would be dim. It'd be dim to a point where the captain on the ship, he wouldn't even be able to see the light until he was about to hit the land. Folks, I want to tell you, we are the lighthouse for this world to see. And our main objective as the Church of the True and Living God is that we are to lift up Jesus in everything that we do. Jesus even told us, he said, for if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That is our main objective as the Church of the True and Living God, is to lift up the name of Jesus. And when, you know, I want to tell you folks, lots of times we can't even lift up the name of Jesus unless we have a little talk with him first. You know, I think it's really important before we go into the service that we do have a little talk with him. You know, and I want to tell you, ever since I've grown up, the song Just a Little Talk with Jesus has always been one of my favorites. For whatever reason, I have no idea. But you know, that day, whenever I got saved, I realized what it was like to have a little talk with Jesus. You know, before it was just words on a piece of paper. But then after you're saved and you start reading the songs, it's something that's real. And it's something that you can feel down deep in your heart, you know. And you know, but before we're able to go into battle for our Lord, before we're able to go and try to lift up his name, we got to talk with him first. We got to see what he wants us to do. We have to be spiritually minded. We have to keep the things out in this world out of our minds and out of our hearts, even for just a few moments of time, for the Lord to just use us. And I know that's hard. Trust me, I know. I'm a big sports advocate. I love sports. I love football. I love basketball, baseball. Basically, if it's got a ball in it, I love watching it. But you know, I tell you what, sometimes when it comes to the house of the Lord, I need to make sure I'm not worried about the game that's going to come on at 12 o'clock. Because when I'm in the Lord's house, I'm there for the Lord to use me. And folks, that shouldn't just be a Sunday morning thing. It should be an everyday thing when we walk out in this world. That we are to be a light for this community to see. That we are to, when we walk out, when we go to our jobs or go to our school or even amongst our own family members, we have to try our very best to lift up the name of Jesus in everything that we do. Matter of fact, whenever we were baptized into the church, we were baptized, I don't know if you know this or not, in agreement to the church covenant. And around the third paragraph, it tells us that we are to diligently seek after the salvation of our kindred and our acquaintances. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, that even means the people that you pass by at Walmart and have a little talk with. We are to diligently seek after their salvation. That's what God has put this church here in this community for. That we are to be a lighthouse for them. That we are to tell people and warn them about sin, but tell them that there's still hope at the cross. And I tell you what, folks, we're living in a time today that it seems like Satan is doing his very best to try to squeeze out that light as much as he can. To try to dim that light as much as he can. We've got this COVID-19 mess that's going on. Don't get me wrong, I do believe that it is a real disease. I do believe it has affected real people. But I know somebody who is greater than this disease mess. I know somebody who can take care of it. Folks, all we have to do as his people is to get down on our knees and get rid of the sinful world for just a few moments of time and focus on him. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, even in the book of Colossians, in the first chapter, in the 18th verse, the Bible I don't want to misquote this, but the Bible tells us, Paul was writing, he said, and he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That word preeminence means priority in rank. Our top priority in life is to please God. Our top priority in life is to do our Father's will. And you know, we even read of a man who lived that out just about as good as he can. Matter of fact, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know what he said? He said, Father, if it be thy will, just take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine be done. But your will be done. We are to continually seek after God's will. Jesus even said, seek ye first the kingdom of God in everything that we do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the will of God. Seek what he wants us to do. And folks, I know that seems like, well, some of us just ain't good singers. But I'll tell you what, folks, it doesn't matter how good or how pretty you think you might or might not sing. But if you sing from the depths of the heart with meaning, it gives God all the honor and glory. You know, Bible even tells us over in the book of Psalms that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that we're to sing praises unto his name, that we're to give him the honor and the glory for everything that he has done for us. And folks, I tell you, the day that the Lord saved my soul, you know, Bible tells us that there's fruits of the Spirit. There's the evidence of the Spirit. Matter of fact, that's one thing we ask if people want to join the Lord's church. John the Baptist was there baptized, and he said, give me fruits meet for repentance. Give me evidence of your repentance. Give me evidence about you. I want to know a little bit about you. And you know, it says the fruits of the Spirit are peace, love, joy, meekness, long-suffering. And you know what? I think about the very first three, peace, love, and joy. That was something I got whenever I got saved. And folks, I tell you, the second that I got saved, I wanted to go to school the next day and tell little Eric or little Johnny about what happened to me. Matter of fact, I wouldn't tell my teacher that day about what happened to me the day before, because it was just a joy that was bubbling up inside of me that I just really couldn't contain it, but did not how to let it out. I'm thankful for the old saints of God who weren't afraid to shout in the services. Amen. I'm thankful for the saints of God. You know what? The Bible tells us, 107th chapter of Psalms, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Folks, if we've been saved by His grace, we need to say so. We need to stand up and testify of the goodness of God. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have something to confess to the world about. And we need to let it be known. We need to sing and shout the praises of God. But you know what? You know, the Bible even tells us in the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 3rd verse, if I'm not wrong, it said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. We don't need to hide the gospel. We don't need to hide what the Lord has done for us. We need to let it be known. We need to lift out the name of Jesus. We need to tell people and show them about the goodness of God. And I'll tell you what, folks, lots of times a testimony has done just as good as a sermon did. And it wasn't because, I'm not saying sermons are worthless in the service. They're not. But it's because God allowed the people to use them. God allowed the people allowed God to just let them stand up and just say a few words and just trust that it was in His hands, and it touched the hearts of those that heard. Matter of fact, we read in the 4th chapter of John about the woman at the well. She came to Jesus and I believe that she got saved that day, you know. And you know what happened? It said that she went back to Samaria and told everybody. And you know what it said? It said that there were people that believed her word, her testimony. I didn't say she preached. I said she had testimony of what God done for her. Folks, we need to share that testimony to people. We need to share the goodness of God. We need to be a Spirit-filled people. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are to not be filled with wine, but we are to be full of the Spirit. We're to be full of God. And Bible even tells us there later on in the book of Ephesians that we are to comfort one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual singing. I love singing praises to God just as much as anybody else. But I tell you, I really love it when the Spirit of the Lord moves in those songs. I love it when the Spirit of the Lord just moves amongst His people. And they just testify just out of nowhere. And they just let the Lord use them. That's how you be a light. Bible even tells us, Paul even said that Paul watered and Apollos, Paul sown the seed and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, we all have a different job. But we must remember that God gives the increase in everything. Some of us are to sow the seed. Some of us are to water. Well, Brother Barber, how do you water the seed? You follow the Spirit of God. Hey, you know, when somebody spreads the gospel or testifies, they sow the seed in that heart. But then when somebody else just moves along and follows the Spirit, say, Brother Barber, I want to hear this song. Or maybe I need to say something. Or maybe I need to give the word of the Lord a word of praise. That is watering the seed. And it's God that gives the increase. You know, and for those of us who are out here in this world trying to sow the seed, do not be discouraged. We live in a discouraging world, do we not? It seems like Satan is on every hand, beating down God's people, trying to diminish the church. But I tell you what, do not be discouraged, because we have somebody that we can call upon, who can hear and answer our prayers. You know, Jesus even told His disciples, He said, if you have faith just as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can look at this mountain and say, get me hence yonder, and it'll be removed from you. I've had somebody tell me one time, Brother Barber, you do know that doesn't mean a literal mountain, don't you? I don't care if it means a literal mountain or not, because if we just have faith, and we pray to God,
can do anything he wants to. Why? Because he's the one who created the heavens and the earth in just 6 days and everything that was in it. And he rested upon the seventh. He's the one that created man from the dust of the ground. And he's also the one, and he sent his son, the only perfect sacrifice, to die for our sins. He can do anything, folks. All we have to do is call upon him. That's what we need. We need people to pray and call upon him. And folks, I want to tell you this too. If you're ever called to lead prayer, pray out loud. Because there's times that my prayers just don't get above my head. But sometimes I listen to that brother. And you know, when the Spirit starts moving, I say, amen. And then his prayer will become my prayer. And you can feel the Spirit of God just move amongst that. We need prayer warriors. We need Spirit-filled people. We need God's people to be willing to serve him. Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, if any man wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. It starts with denying ourselves. It starts with getting ourselves out of the way. And lots of times that's hard to do, is it not? It is really hard to do. But lots of times I find myself saying, Lord, just help me just be a vessel for you to use. And you know what? He'll help me get myself out of the way. He's willing to help. He's wanting to help. But the fact is that sometimes we just turn our backs on him. The fact is sometimes we get so mad and frustrated at things that we just turn a deaf ear. And don't even listen to what God's trying to say. Folks, this is a battle that we face on a day-to-day basis. And the battle that we face, it is not carnally. But Paul said that it was spiritually. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the powers and the principality and the rulers of darkness. We face Satan and his followers himself. And folks, I tell you, if God could just even let us get a glimpse of the spiritual warfare that is going around us, we would all fall and crumble to our knees. Folks, don't be discouraged because this simple world we live in. Just look to God. Take hold of his hand. You know, I remember one day at church service, there was a song that just really touched my heart. It said, hold to God's unchanging hands. Build your hopes on things eternal. Don't set your heart upon the things of the world, because where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. But set it upon the things above. You know, speaking of prayer, I know I'm going everywhere. I'm almost done. Just bear with me. But speaking of prayer, I believe that there is power in prayer. I was a member at a church one time, and there was a member who came one night, and they said, pray for me. They've been diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and I'm going into the doctor tomorrow for them to take a look at it. So, you know, we all got together around the altar. We prayed over him, and you know what happened? The next day, they wasn't able to see anything. God worked. Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, he said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help. My help comes from the Lord. It don't come from the world. It don't come from the goodness of the world, but it comes from God. We are a people. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, separated for his good work. Yes, it's going to be hard. It's going to be trying. But we have a man, we have a help, a great help in times of need. All we have to do is look to him. We are to be spiritual and spirit-filled, filled up with the goodness of God. And you know what? We can be if we just ask him. if we just get the things out of the world, just out of the way. You know what? I tell you, folks, and I've told this to my wife several times, there are some good things to come out of this little disease that came around. Because the gospel got spread. Amen. We're not to hoard the gospel inside the four walls. He wants us to take it out in the world. He wants us to, I believe that we're supposed to use any means necessary to get the gospel out for people to hear it. And you know, it's been good for me. Because you see, I told you I was a big sports advocate. You know, basketball season came around. I'm a big old Kentucky basketball fan. And I was like, man, I can't wait for March Madness to come around. I can't wait for this basketball game. You know, and I'd get done with work. Lord put a thought in my heart. I'll say, no, I'll hold on to that for a minute. I'm just going to watch this game first. Basketball taken away. Sports taken away. And I cut hair for a living, and you know, I was like, well, since I can't watch sports, I'm going to up my hours a little bit so that way I can just keep myself busy. State of Tennessee shut us down 35 days. But you know what? I was so frustrated that first day. I was like, man, this is my job, this is my livelihood. But then I was able to enjoy the rest of the time because I was finally able to be alone with God. I was finally able to get to that point where I was just able to just talk to Him and for Him to just use me like He wanted to. And I've had more enjoyment out of those days than I have any other day out of the year. Folks, let's just do away with the world for a minute. Let's do away with it for a minute and focus on what God wants us to do. There might be somebody lost in your family. Might be somebody lost in my family. But somebody can touch them if we are willing. We're supposed to be a spirit-filled people in a dark and sinful world. We are still a lighthouse. Even though that light has gotten dim, we are still that lighthouse that stands bright on the hillside. Telling people about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Folks, let's keep that going on. I'm done, and I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. Brother, I turn back to you.